It had probably been another long day for this Roman jailer at the prison in Philippi. Exhausted, he had just put a couple of troublemakers in the innermost cell of the prison and put their feet in the stocks. He's hoping for a quiet night, maybe get a nap in. But now he has these two new prisoners at midnight singing songs at the top of their lungs and praying as loudly as they can. And he manages, though, somehow to doze off in spite of all of that. But then he's awakened with the shaking of the whole prison because of an earthquake which sprung the locks on every cell door. Well, he just knew all the prisoners had escaped, which means he is done for. He decides to take his own life rather than face a death of torture and shame. He had drawn his sword when he heard a voice saying, "Don't do it. We're here. We're all here." And so they were, their cell door standing open, every prisoner present and accounted for, none of them in chains. How could this be? Why didn't they take advantage of this situation and escape? Well, the jailer is astounded, overwhelmed, questioning. He steps outside with Paul and Silas, somehow connecting these events, the singing and the earthquake, grateful that somehow his life and his career are not over. But he has a question for them. What must I do to be saved? Like I say, maybe he was listening to the prayers and the singing. Well, they explain to him it's all about grace and faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes Paul and Silas to his home, where they continue teaching him and his entire household. Once there, the jailer washed the men's wounds. Paul and Silas had to have terrible wounds because they had been flogged. Then the entire man's household hears the same teaching, comes to faith, and they are all baptized. The jailer responds by feeding the two prisoners, and it becomes a party as they all celebrate that salvation has come to that household and that they are now believers in the one God. What started out as a typical day for this jailer of transporting and guarding prisoners, almost then becoming the worst day of his life, turned into the most important day in his life. A day when he experienced God's grace in songs and prayers of two prisoners who had no reason he could see to be singing songs of praise or offering prayers of thanksgiving to God. A God who had obviously abandoned them in the deepest part of the prison. He experienced grace again in the aftermath of an earthquake where the prisoners, none of them escaped. And then finally in the teaching of Paul and Silas and the coming to faith and the baptism of all who were in his house. Looking back, it was grace upon grace upon grace. And the whole household who shared in the grace also shared in the giving of thanks, joining in the celebration of this wonderful God. So now what? Did the jailer suddenly become a kind and happy guy? Was he content in his work as part of the Roman Empire? Did he treat all the prisoners with respect, acting justly towards them? Was he a better head of household? Were the members of the household different because of this moment of baptism and confession of faith? Well, the honest answer is we just don't know because we never hear about this man again. But if after this day the jailer and those who lived in his house suddenly became more righteous, if they become model Christians, I would actually be somewhat surprised and a wee bit skeptical. Did they even know what the life of faith was like in order to know how their lives would need to change? I strongly suspect not. But the good news is that that doesn't change what happened on this earth-shaking day. For what brought them to confessing their faith and the waters of the baptism was not anything they had done or anything that they would do. It was all about what God had done in Jesus Christ, which means that even if they did not make a dramatic change in their living, they had committed to the journey of faithfulness of the following of Jesus. even if they did not fully understand what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus, they have already been claimed by the Holy Spirit, which now dwells in them, who will help them and guide them. They aren't alone in living in the way of the Savior. And when they fall short, when in weakness they say or do something contrary to the way of Jesus, God is there to forgive them. The relationship isn't broken. Nothing now can separate them from the love of God. Each day going forward will be lived in the midst of the grace of God. The jailer and his household had no idea what had just happened to them when they laid out the table for Paul and Silas and started their celebration of their new life in Christ. I think if they'd had any, even a glimpse, they might have been thinking twice. For those of us who know what the life of faith is that it isn't all parties and fun. There's struggle. There are hard decisions, hard choices. It takes work. But while they were giving thanks and praising God for all that had happened, there they were just experiencing the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg of what would lie ahead for them as followers of Jesus. They had no idea that when they had awful days and would come home and take it out on their family or their neighbors or the prisoners at the jail, that there was grace for that. That when they're in anger or frustration or fear or prejudice, they said things that were hurtful to others and thus to God, that there was grace for that too. On the days when they walked by the beggar at the city gate thinking, he doesn't really deserve any of what I have, there would be grace for that as well. They didn't need to dwell in that land of sin any longer because in the way of Jesus, there was always a chance to do better. To be better. Nadia Bolz-Weber, a Lutheran pastor and theologian, tells us that grace isn't that God steps in when we mess up and says, "That's okay. I've got some grace here. I forgive you." For Bolz-Weber, it is more that God says, "I love the world too much to let your sin define you and be the final word about you. I am a God who makes all things new." In other words, grace means God continues to do that good work in us so that when we do and say things that hurt others and ourselves and even the planet, God keeps it from being all there is to us and who we are. God works to make us better than our worst moments. Most of us hope that our worst moments do not define us. Whether they are events that happened to us and we're not proud of how we responded, or times when our actions or words were hurtful, and while we know that those words are out there and they can't be taken back, we don't want them to be a defining moment for us, shaping who we are, the future of those relationships for the rest of our lives. Rather, God is giving us new life again and again and again, so that we can continue to grow into the people God means for us to be. One of the parts of this text that has always touched me is that the jailer, before he was even baptized in gratitude for the words that Paul and Silas gave him and the ways that they actually saved his life, he washes their wounds, the wounds that he himself may have inflicted. And then, having been baptized in gratitude, he sets before them a meal, feeding them in body as they have fed their souls. Acts of gratitude. Now, we only hear him say, "What must I do to be saved?" He never says a word after that question in the whole text. What we know is how he acted in kindness to Paul and Silas. He let his living, his life, show his thanks. In the Book of Common Worship, the prayer following receiving communion contains this sentence as we close communion. "So strengthen us in your service that our daily living may show our thanks." Our daily living may show our thanks. How does our daily living express our gratitude to God? What are our acts of gratitude for the salvation we have received by grace? Whose wounds do we care for? For whom do we prepare a meal? What in our daily living expresses gratitude for this unbelievable gift we have been given? Now, some might call this paying it forward or praying it forward, but people who have had an adult, you know, for many of us, we know what that means to pay it forward. The people who had an adult in their young lives who then go on to mentor students. Someone who survived heart surgery, who now volunteers in the cardiac surgery waiting room as a living example of new life. Often when someone benefits from a food bank at a low point in their life, they will come back when times are better and they will volunteer or donate to be that encouraging presence that had been there for them in their need. Always of living gratitude. Imagine if that jailer and his household understood everything that they had received in that baptism. How much more would they have to be grateful for? A lifetime of never being alone again, of never being separated from their Creator. How much more celebrating they would be doing in the months and years to come. Truth be told, they and us could spend the rest of our lives living our thanks to God in every way we know how for those infinite gifts of grace that our Creator pours out every day. Amen.